So this morning, we're going to finish our series on the Holy Spirit. I say finish. In reality, the Holy Spirit's with us all the time. But we're going to finish up our discussions, if you want to say, our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. In doing so, the Holy Spirit's one of the greatest gifts that mankind has ever been given by God. Now, some will say, well, what about Jesus? Well, yeah, Jesus is, you know, he's right up there, you know, greatest gifts ever given by God. But in the life of every genuine believer, the Holy Spirit serves many functions, many roles, and participates in many activities. And over the past few weeks, we have investigated some of these to include last week's look at the basic role of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, if you remember last week, we looked at his role in our life. Well, this week, guess what we're going to focus on? Our role. Our role. Now, once you've accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus and you've allowed him in your life as Lord, guess what? We've talked about this. You then receive the Holy Spirit in your heart as a permanent participant in your walk as a believer. Now, I've already mentioned that he has taken up residence in your life. And guess what? He is there to fulfill the will, and he's there to fulfill the purposes of God using or through you. Now, this means that every believer has a role in that process as well. And it's hard for us to understand that. It's hard for us to understand that, well, if the Holy Spirit's there in all his power and all his might, how can I be the one to stop him from doing what he's there to do? But the reality is, I can absolutely do that. My prayer for you, though, is that you will not do that. Think about it in this manner. If Jesus were still here with us in the flesh, what functions, what roles, what activities do you think he would be doing or he would be fulfilling? Perhaps he would be the one teaching us truth. I know this, if Jesus was in the room right now, I would not be standing up here unless he asked me to. And I would hope he would be the one up here teaching us and sharing truth. Perhaps he would be the one revealing the mysteries of God to us. Everybody's got those questions, right? Well, I can't wait one day. I want to ask this question. We saw Alistair Begg in the video say, I can't wait to see the guy on the cross and ask this question, right? We all have those questions. Perhaps Jesus, if he were here, he would be enlightening us to the mysteries of God. Perhaps he would be the one gifting us to go and serve others. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because the Holy Spirit, one of his roles and functions and one of our roles is to accept the gifts that he gives us and then go use those. But if Jesus was here, guess what? If you remember in the Bible, as well as we've been watching in The Chosen, he's getting ready in our Chosen series to send them out two by two. And guess what? He says, you're going to go and heal and you're going to go perform miracles in the same manner that I have. Perhaps if Jesus was here, he would be gifting us in a likewise way. Perhaps he would be the one walking us through our most difficult moments. Man, I'm glad he actually still does that, right? But if he was here in the person, you know what I think he would be doing when we had those difficult moments? Walking over and grabbing us by the hand or putting his arm around us and helping us in those moments. I imagine if Jesus were still here, he would be doing exactly what he was doing when he was here the first time. Unfortunately, he is not here, so it's not the case, because it was not part of God's plan. But what was part of God's plan was that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit into the life of every believer as a stand-in or as a substitutionary compensation for his absence. Aren't you glad that God set it up that way? The Holy Spirit teaches us about the whole counsel of God. He helps us understand biblical truth. He leads us into powerful acts of worship. He guides us in this world as we learn how to live out our faith in front of others. The Holy Spirit also helps us understand the deity and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He helps us comprehend, and we're getting ready to have this season of Easter, right? But the Holy Spirit helps us wrap our mind around and comprehend the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. He helps us understand his resurrection. How is it that he could be raised from the dead? The Holy Spirit helps us understand also his ascension. He helps us also understand, as we sang in the song, his exaltation. And while it may be difficult to comprehend and understand, the Holy Spirit also helps us understand Jesus' role as judge in the final days. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us understand the spiritual things of God. I want to say that again because it's important that we leave here this morning knowing that. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the spiritual things of God. Jesus said it this way in John 16:14. He said, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." With no exception, the Holy Spirit gives glory to Christ in all things and in every way, and he does that in and through you and me every day, all the time. But let's look first at one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in us and through us to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And you know, I started to only read portions of this, but I feel like we should read this whole entire chapter. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, and we're going to read this, and I'm going to read it fairly quickly, unless the Holy Spirit tells me to stop and concentrate in an area, but I'm going to read it, and it should be on the screen, and you can read it along with me, or if you have your Bible or your phone app. It says in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So what's Paul saying? Hey, I'm going to tell you about these gifts. I want to make sure that you know about them. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except how? In the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." I'll say that again. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Verse 12, and this is where we get kind of our role in this, right? So we get these gifts, and now we're going to hear what our role is. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, Where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And these are questions, y'all. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Whew. That is a very rich, very deep chapter. But yes, Sylvia, it ought to be very powerful in our lives. Because when I read through that and I think about that, and I think about that in reference to the Holy Spirit, what I get from that is the Holy Spirit, upon His choosing and upon His will, decides the gift that I will receive, or gifts that I will receive. And then I keep reading and I say, well, if I get this gift, whatever it might be, what am I supposed to do with it? Well, I don't necessarily get actual specifics of what I'm supposed to do with it, but I do get its purpose. And its purpose is to do what? Is to be used in accordance to God's will in the body of the believers. And who are we? We're the bride of Christ, right? We're the body of Christ. And you get all that language about the ear and the eye and the foot and all this other stuff, but what it's really saying is what? Is everybody's been given a gift for a particular purpose, and guess what? Your gift is going to be, most of the time, different than somebody else's, but it does not make it any less important. Amen. They are all the same in the eyes of God because they serve the same purpose, and that is to do what? To work for the common good, to build each other up, to teach each other, to help each other. You remember what it said? If one suffers, we all suffer. You know, I don't like to suffer, so I know no one else does, but guess what? We live in a sin-filled world, and we're going to suffer. Guess what? When we see one of our own family members in need and suffering, does that mean we go jump in there and participate in that with them? No, that means we go and we take upon ourselves that same level of suffering. Why? To help them live through that moment and get through that moment. In such a way, and we do that in such a way that it does what? That it brings glory to God. Because I can tell you this, the God I serve is a loving God. And the God I serve doesn't like for us to suffer either. Oh, thank you, Adam and Eve, for making that choice all them many years ago, right? But we suffer today because of sins that we commit, or sins that have been committed by mankind in general in the past. And I've said this before, diseases, and all, you know, we've been talking about cancer, all this stuff, guess what? In the garden, it didn't exist. And all those things we have now are a result of years and years and years of sin, compounded upon sin, compounded upon sin, compounded upon sin. God doesn't like for us to suffer, but He also understands that in this life, here on this earth, we will. And He gives us these gifts for many reasons, but one of the reasons that we get those gifts is to be used to help each other. Has everybody in this room been gifted to teach? Nope. Has everybody in this room been gifted to preach? Nope. Has everybody in this room been gifted as an administrator? Nope. But those of you who have been gifted in those areas, guess what? The expectation is you've been given that gift. Now you need to do what? Make use of it. But here's the other thing. I know a lot of people that discover their spiritual gifts and they make use of it. And what it turns into is, oh, look at me. Look at me. God's gave me this gift and it's greater than this gift. But what does Paul tell us here? Don't try to categorize them. Man will look and Satan will tell you, hey, oh, that gift over there is greater than that gift over here, but that's a lie. Every gift that comes from God, every gift that comes directly from the Holy Spirit to you as a believer is the same as the person beside you in terms of ranking and status. Why? Because in the eyes of God, they're all precious, every one of them. Every one of them. So, in this listing, we see a potential, or we get a list of potential spiritual gifts a believer may be given for use in bringing glory to Christ. I love verses 7 and 12 of this passage. So, I want to go back. Verse 7, this is what it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And verse 12 said, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. I love those because they explain to us the reason for the gifts. You've been given a gift. Is it to do work? Absolutely. But the main reason, the main purpose that God has decided to give you a spiritual gift is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. To bring glory to Jesus Christ. It's important for us to recognize our gifts or our gifts. Absolutely important. But just as important is our need to recognize why, or just as important is our need to recognize why we are given these spiritual gifts. It is through these gifts that believers function as the body of Christ here on earth. All these gifts are provided so that we can work together, unified by the Holy Spirit, to serve as ambassadors of Christ to the world around us. Now, I know what you may be thinking. How do I discover my gift or my gifts? And I feel like I've gone through this a few times. I've gave you homework assignments. I've said, hey, go read all these scriptures and start praying about it. And I'll just say this. In your prayer time, in your searching, I suggest that you first begin with the one person who knows exactly what your gift or gifts might be. Go directly to the source. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. I put on here, make it a priority to speak directly to the Holy Spirit. Speak direct. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, we've been talking about this for weeks, lives where? Dwells inside of you. You say, well, I don't know that I can speak to the Holy Spirit. You absolutely can speak to the Holy Spirit. He's right there. And I'm not making light of it, and I'm not making fun of anyone in the room. If you've never prayed to the Holy Spirit, it's okay. It's okay. Some of us say, well, I'm supposed to pray God the Father and in my prayer in Jesus' name. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. But who are you leaving out? The Holy Spirit. It's okay to say, Holy Spirit, help me discover the gift that you've given me or the gifts that you've given me. And then the next follow-up to that is, all right, Holy Spirit, you've shown it to me. Now help me use it. Help me understand it. Help me know. Help me discern when is the right time and the right place and the right moment to put that gift into action. So make it a priority to speak to the Holy Spirit concerning the matter of your spiritual gifts. Another thing you can do as you're praying to the Holy Spirit is go read Romans 12, 1 through 8. I'm not going to read it this morning, but go back to Romans 12, 1 through 8 and begin praying and asking God, asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you down that path. Now, from there, Perhaps you should do an in-depth study of the spiritual gifts or take one of those tools. I gave y'all a test one time. Remember those? Those little handouts for your benefit. Are they definitive? No, but they help do what? Answer some questions and they help kind of guide you in a direction. It's just a way to get your mind and your heart and the spirit all in sync, right? To get you going in the direction of discovering what your spiritual gifts might be. The key, though, in all of this is to make actually finding out what your gift or gifts might be, to actually make it a priority. To make it a priority. Did anybody have to train yourself to make the gospel primer a priority? I did. We've been doing the scripture writing. You read a verse, read a verse of scripture each day. Write that scripture out each day. Of course, I added, write a prayer to that for me personally in my little journal. Right? But initially, I had to do. I had to make that a priority. I had to carry that thing everywhere I went. If you go right now, my little prayer journal, my little scripture journal is in there in my computer bag, in the little side pocket. And I'll open it up, and there'll be a couple of days I'll get behind. I'm like, oh, man. So I had to train myself. So and what I'm trying to get you to understand is if you really want to know, you really truly want to know what your spiritual gift or gifts are, you got to make it a priority to find out. You got to say, you know what? I really want to know what it is. I really want to know what it is. God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Teach me. Mold me, lead me, guide me, direct me to what that gift or gifts might be. Now, once you discover your gift, the next step in that is what? Use it. Use it where? Everywhere it's needed, right? Why? Because it's given to you for kingdom service, for kingdom work. To bring glory to Christ. And then, after you discover it, after you start using it, or them, I should say, then you can begin experiencing another of the functions of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you remember the teachings of Jesus from Matthew 12, 33 through 37? I believe we're going to put it up here. Y'all remember this? It's talking about the good tree and the bad tree and the good fruit. Let's just read it. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now, who's the tree? It's a human, right? Okay, now let's keep reading. You brood of vipers. Say, thank you, preacher. Right? How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Hoo-wee. That's hard to read, isn't it? It's in red. From the words of Jesus himself. Remember I said earlier, if Jesus was here, he'd be teaching us about truth. Guess what? His word is still here. His word still stands true. And if he spoke those words then, guess what? He's still speaking those same words today. Speaking those same words today. So it's important that we do whatever it takes. We need to make it a priority, folks. We need to do whatever it takes, whatever is possible that we can do to make sure that we are a good tree. If you go back to 33, what does it say? Can you go all the way back? Either make the tree good, right, or make the tree bad. Jesus is saying you get to choose. What else do we get to choose in? Anything with God, we get a choice. We can choose him or we can deny him. We can choose Jesus or deny Jesus. We can decide that we want to make finding out our spiritual gifts a priority, or we can decide, hey, it ain't that important to me. We can either make the tree good or we can make it bad. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a choice. So it ought to be important to us to do whatever we possibly can to make sure that the tree is good. And when the tree is good, you know what kind of fruit it'll bear? Good fruit. Good fruit. The Holy Spirit helps us. You remember when Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you a helper. You know what that, one of his roles in helping us is helping us become a good tree that bears good fruit. Whether we like it or not, each one of us will produce some type of fruit. The fruits of the flesh will be bad, but the fruits of the Spirit will be great, will be good. Paul shared this insight with the Galatians. You know, the Galatians was battling desires of the flesh, kind of like what's going on in the world we live in today. Everywhere you look, God's being forced out and it's being replaced with things that make people happy. And most of those things deal with desires and pleasures of the flesh. So Paul, boy, he was, man, revolutionary. Revolutionary back in that day to the Galatians, right? Nope. Guess what? Ever since the fall in the garden, man has battled the desires of the flesh. So he taught to the church in Galatians. You go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read 16 through 26. And this is what it says. But I say, I love this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Anybody struggle with desires of the flesh? I didn't really want you to raise your hand, but in reality, everybody in this room ought to raise their hand, right? Right? But what's the answer? Go back, Brady. What's the answer? If we walk by the Spirit, then guess what? You will not succumb to the desires of the flesh. Now let's keep going. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, and to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Just saying. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Paul's right there. Oh, wait, no, there's more. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's right there, because in this, all them years ago, Paul just described the United States of America. Paul just described the world we live in. Oh, by the way, Paul just described not the church at Galatia, but the church in general today. What he was teaching on then hasn't changed. You know what else hasn't changed? The people's inability to heed the words and make sure they did everything possible to avoid that big long list of stuff we just read. But Paul gives us a but. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When the Spirit of God lives inside of you and you allow the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you, then what does that verse say? What is Paul saying? There's no need for a law, because God is moral. And when you live by His Spirit, you will be moral. No exception. No exception. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Are we supposed to embrace our salvation? Absolutely. Are we supposed to be in love with Jesus? Absolutely. Are we supposed to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in and through us and out of us every day? Absolutely. But that last verse says, do it how? For the glory of Christ Jesus. And it has nothing to do with self. And that includes individuals as well as the body of believers. The body of believers. You see, when the Holy Spirit indwells us, our role becomes one that's driven by a willing obedience. We must willingly, remember, you got to choose for your tree to be good. We must willingly allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to direct our minds and our hearts in everything. Our role then requires us to follow the Spirit's guidance and trust His ways over our ways. I feel like I say that a lot, but you know why I say that a lot? Because it's true. And if we want to be better, we're going through the gospel primers to help us to do what? Be a better disciple, to be a better follower, to be a better Christian, right? If we truly want to be better, then we got to let the Spirit's ways lead us and not our ways lead us. When we do this, then and only then will we produce, and then and only then will we experience the harvesting of His fruits in our lives. We will, I love this, y'all. When we learn to step by step, walk by the Spirit, we'll begin to experience and we'll begin to continually taste of the good fruit. Love, joy, patience, kindness, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does anybody not want to walk around all the time with that in your mouth? Those things in your mouth. And here's the thing. When we begin to taste those and enjoy those and live our lives in such a way that that's what our life is filled with, all around us, guess what people will see? Jesus Christ on full display. Jesus Christ, oh, by the way, here with us right now. Here with us right now. So as we finish up, we conclude our series on the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure you have an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. And, you know, you have to be cautious sometimes when you say that as a pastor. Because I don't say that to create doubt, by no means. But I say that to say this. If you haven't truly, truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then why not today? Why not make it today? Why not experience the sweet taste of all those good fruits that we just talked about as opposed to the bitterness that comes from all that long list of bad things that we read? So I want to make sure you got an opportunity today to surrender your life to Jesus. You may not know it or not, but He's been waiting on you. Why not make today the day that He stops waiting? I also want to remind you that knowing that the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in your life, knowing that He performs all these miraculous functions, knowing that He dwells with us forever, and knowing that He will never leave or forsake us, that ought to be cause for great joy. It ought to be cause for great comfort. It might have been Samantha and I think it was, and maybe Diane, I don't know. We were in the hallway one evening. It might have been one of the food box packing evenings. I don't remember now. It's been several weeks back. But we were talking about, you know, when you're around people that you just know. They don't have to walk up and say, "Hey, brother, I'm a Christian." You know, they walk up and shake your hand, every hair in your body stands up. You know? You know. That's somebody that is walking around in the Spirit. That's somebody that's walking around continually tasting of the good fruits. And they're walking around filled with this peace and filled with this comfort and filled with this great joy. And it all comes from knowing that they belong to Jesus Christ. Thank God for his precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Now, I chose a song this morning. It's funny because I was, you can ask Jackie and Brady, I always say, now don't make sure them songs ain't too long now. We won't play none of them 15-minute jobs or people's passing out in the pew and stuff, right? But as we were getting ready, I think it was last week, early in the morning, I had just got up, I was making coffee, and Brady, a lot of mornings, he'll turn music on a little bit too loud for my taste, but anyway, he turns it on, and the song I'm going to play here in a minute was the song that started playing. And I went in there, I said, Brady, what is that song? I like that. And over the course of the last couple of weeks and, of course, of preaching through this series, this song just kept coming into my mind. And it's about, 7 minutes? But here's what I want to ask you to do. This song is sung in the format of a prayer. And this is what I want to ask you to do. As that song begins, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to listen to that song. And as that song plays, and as your heart begins to turn and listen to the Holy Spirit, I want you to come to this altar. And I want you to listen to those words, and I want you to pray to your Father. Pray to your Savior. Pray to His Spirit that lives inside of you. If you don't want to come get on the altar, sit on the front pews right here. And this is not out of show. That's why I say you don't even have to move. But one of the things I think we're missing in our world is people's unwillingness to come to the feet of Jesus. Come to the feet of Jesus. And just simply to do what? To speak. To pour your heart out. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what bad fruit you may have experienced or tasted in your life. But what I do know is that there's a good fruit that'll replace it. That'll replace it. But you got to want to make your tree a good tree that bears good fruit. So as this song begins to play, I want you to close your eyes. We're going to put the lights down a little bit too, Brady, and just start listening to this song. And if the Spirit moves you to come up here and just pour your heart out to God, then do that. And if I need to pray with you or I need to speak with you, I'll be down here. I'll be more than glad to do that. But know this, God done everything he's done and he's going to continue to do because of you and his love for you. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let it go to waste.
We don't have to come to God like somebody else. We come to him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself so I know how to follow you. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what
sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am found. I am yours.
my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
'Cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free.
'Cause you are strong, you are sure. You are life, you endure, you are good, always true, you are life, breaking through.
Ask God to search your heart. Lord, open us up. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you, Father. Let's sing this prayer to him. You are more than enough. Can you sing that?
'Cause you are more.
God, we love you. And we thank you for your amazing, amazing, amazing patience with us. I can't imagine what it's like to watch us down here chasing our tails, scratching all our itches, thinking that we found answers. We're digging holes in the ground, calling them wells, and just starving little people. God, if we would ever open up our heart to you, trust you, you do something only you can do. Can we sing that chorus one more time?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak what is true.
David's prayer in Psalm 51 said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. I hope that as we conclude this series on the Holy Spirit, that God has really, really spoken to you. And I hope that in the days ahead, perhaps you will remember this song of prayer and ask God to teach you, mold you, lead you, guide you, direct you. May you fall in love with Jesus more than what you may already be. And I know he's got great things. He's got great things in store for your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for the powerful saving work of the cross in an empty tomb. But God, we thank you too for the powerful, leading, helping work of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And Lord, my prayer is that you'll continue to show us your truth. And Lord, may our hearts bend continually toward you. We love you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We'll follow you, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.